Got Your Ears On is brought to you by Tactical Legion Knives. Live from the campus of Tom Radio, under the direction of Guido, Scoot, and Johnson, it's the pride of podcasting. It's Got Your Ears On.
All right, welcome everybody to Got Your Ears On. I'm Guido, along with Scoot.
Let's go.
And Johnson.
Mountaineers,
that's right. Trust the climb, boys. We're winning games.
We rock chalked some Jayhawks.
I'll tell you. I said three wins. I told you guys we'd have at least three wins.
Well, you called it. We're there.
By week four, did you think we'd have three wins?
I tell you, I did not expect us to beat Kansas. I did expect us to beat Kansas. I did not expect us to look how we have looked so far this season. I mean, 29-24 over a Kansas team that I think is not as bad as people have painted them to be.
Well, can we just say, though, that remember all the fun we had last week against NC State?
Right.
I did not have any fun this weekend.
Yeah, right.
I did, but it was not nearly as fun as what we experienced the week before. Let's just put it that way.
It was a back and forth game. Kansas never let us get too far ahead of them.
There was a lot in that fourth quarter, there was a lot of me saying to the person I was watching it with, well, we just need to get a stop. Oh, they scored in one play. Okay, well, we just need to get a first down and run this clock out. Okay, we didn't get the first down. Okay, well, we just need to stop them on this play. Okay, well, they're hook and lateraling it down inside the 20. I was like, you guys are torturing me.
And so that's the weird thing about the game. So, like, if you look at the stats, I mean, we won, 29-24. Okay, it was kind of nerve-wracking, especially in that fourth quarter. But time of possession was ridiculous. We had the ball for 37 minutes. They had the ball for 22 minutes. That's a pretty heavily weighted to our side.
Yeah, that's a huge disparity.
I also think that there were a lot of defensive issues this week. So just like you said, Johnson, there were a lot of like, oh, that's a 40-yard play. Kansas went down the field, covered half the field.
Well, so, at one point in the game, I was being a smart aleck, and I said the Jayhawk quick strike offense just scored. You know, like no one's ever said that sentence ever. But they had one play, I think, there in the third quarter. It was a 70-yard pass that I just was like, come on, guys. Like, let's not do that anymore.
I think I think our struggles this weekend were more on the defensive side than the offensive side. Offensively, I was fairly impressed. Scooty, 18 third downs. We converted half of them. That's not bad for
It's a lot of third downs, though. It is a lot of third downs.
That's a lot of third downs, but,
and that's what Neil Brown, he even remarked that he didn't even feel like there was a real big play in the game in his press conference. He said he thought he had maybe one play that in his mind that he thought was kind of a big play. Everything else was kind of a short yardage type situation. Petaway's run was what, 23 yards? That one touchdown run, 23 or 27 yards. That was a fairly big play as far as distance goes. So,
well, and I was happy for him. He looked great.
And he was a healthy scratch the week before.
Yeah. Yep.
Great. I think the interesting thing, and like I think the first series that we got the ball was sort of kind of how we played the whole game, which is it was very balanced, kind of managed along the way. And I mean, that first touchdown, what, we got the ball with 13 minutes left in the go in the first quarter, and it took us 6 minutes to take it down the field and score a touchdown, which was like, okay, we could do this all game. I mean, time of possession is a big thing. I mean, we won turnovers, we won time of possession. On the other end of things, I think the defense did struggle a little bit. And I think, you know, is Les Miles for real, boys? Like, is this a Kansas team 2 years from now? We're going to be talking about them along with Oklahoma and Texas.
I mean, the guy knows how to win.
Well, and I think he had people excited. That was my takeaway, too. Like, you never hear noise when you're watching a Kansas game on TV. I mean, I've never been there in person, but usually when you go there, you hear no crowd noise whatsoever. I wouldn't say the place was packed by any sort of the imagination, but stretch of the imagination, but they were loud. I think people were excited. I think they feel like he's going to get them someplace, you know? I don't think he's got the players he wants yet, but they're not bad. I mean, I think versus Kansas teams we've seen in the past, I think they're an improvement for sure.
Well, let's talk about the stadium. I mean, are Kansas students fans of football? Do they care about football?
No, they don't care about football. They're a basketball school, and they happen to have a club football team. I mean, that's what this is. You can tell. You know how you can tell? Because they wear those face masks that are shiny. Teams that wear the shiny face masks, it's a gimmick. They're like, hey, you get to wear this cool, shiny helmet. They might. It's like they got confused with a lacrosse helmet. It's kind of what they were doing. Like, they just kind of one-stop shopped and got a helmet with a shiny face mask.
We all signed up for ESPN Plus to watch this, which we'll talk about later. But on ESPN Plus, there's that Les Miles show that is kind of chronicling the Les Miles, you know, first year at Kansas. It's super interesting to watch them and watch him. And he is, I don't even know how to explain Les Miles. Like, he is definitely a man who is very confident in himself. He is definitely a man who... I think he thinks that Kansas, if you listen to him, he thinks Kansas will be a team that's bigger and better than his LSU teams were. I don't even see that being possible.
In their defense, Kansas has been there before. You remember the Mangino years, didn't they? I guess the playoff didn't exist yet, but I think they went to one of the top tier bowls. I should know that before I bring that up. But you guys remember that year. I mean, they almost went undefeated, I think. They had a good team. It was like a blip on their football radar timeline. But, I mean, they've done it before, so it's not unheard of. And I would think if anyone had the chance to do it, his name and lending itself to recruiting and stuff, he could probably do it, I'm sure.
I feel like his only reason for going to Kansas, though, was just so that his son – could play football. His son Ben Miles, who started, had no yards, was on the field a bunch.
So what you're saying, he's pretty much kind of like a Kansas version of Dana Holgorsen.
Well, I think the funny part of also was that, yes,
because that's why Dana went, because Logan probably couldn't handle.
Logan couldn't make it at WVU. Yeah, he had to go. I think the funny part was that Mike Golic Jr. was color commentator for the game, and so I forget who was doing the play-by-play, but he said and Ben Miles in the fullback position, and Mike Golic Jr. was like, "That's the coach's son." I was like, okay, we all needed to know that. Thanks, Mike Golic.
Well, can you guys, one other thing I wanted to bring up too is the back on the game was the officiating. I wanted to see what you guys thought, because even though I think they were the right cause, I think for the odd time in our lives, we actually were on the right side of a lot of those calls during the game for a change. And I just thought that was something that you know, played a factor, especially, I don't know if you guys remember, I think it was later in the game, third quarter maybe, to keep a drive alive, there was a pass interference in the end zone that the person I was watching it with and I, we were just like, not really sure I saw anything there, but we ended up getting a field goal out of it. We didn't really take full advantage of it, but it did extend the drive and put some points on the board.
So I did a little research. This is totally unrelated, but it's related to the game. Puka Williams. I wanted to know, why is he called Puka? It sounds ridiculous.
Okay.
Apparently it was given to him by his grandmother. I thought there was some sort of, like, maybe some sort of football.
What does it mean? Something
like peekaboo, apparently she couldn't say peekaboo.
She's a speech impediment.
I don't
or something?
Know. And apparently, some people have taken to calling him Puka the Bazooka.
Okay. All right.
All right. All right. Johnson, back to you though.
Sorry.
Well, Johnson, going back to what you were talking about with the officiating. For the first time, I don't feel like I was really mad at Big 12 officials along the way. It was the first game that I've watched where I was like, oh, well, they're not complete idiots.
Well, I think had I been a Kansas fan, though, if I put myself over
maybe
there.
I'll give you that.
I feel like I may have been aggravated.
Well, especially on that onside kick.
Well, Kansas, but I think it was the right call. I mean, they hated it. They booed for 20 minutes or whatever. But I think once once Jed Drenning explained it to me on the broadcast. Because at first I was like, what are they doing?
Thank that's God for the signal caller.
Yeah, man. I was like, that's a terrible call. And then the signal caller was like, no, everyone watching, that was actually the correct call. And then I was like on Twitter, like, hey, that was the right call. Because then I understood what I was talking about. But I think there was that call. There was the pass interference.
They did boo a lot.
There were just a couple calls during the game that I thought, oh, we got the good side of that call.
But I will say that I didn't feel like it was, I think we got the good side of a lot of calls. I don't feel like it was penalty heavy, though. I didn't feel like it was a game where I was like, I felt like there was a flag every 5 minutes.
If you're
a
Kansas fan, do you feel like you were, like, the referees screwed you out of being either a winning team or a closer game?
I'm thinking you probably do, just because of the way they booed, you know, the whole second half. But I don't know. I think they were maybe looking at this game like, hey, maybe we can pull one over on West Virginia, and those calls probably got – is that what you mean too? Like, yeah. It probably got under their skin that they, and you know, they got called on.
Hopefully – when you look at
– I was going to say, hopefully the Keith Washington interception might have shut them up a little bit, because that was pretty amazing.
That was huge. That was huge.
That
And I that, think – I think we should have – I should have researched this before bringing this up. Maybe, Scoot, you know. But I think Washington was one of the guys that was even thinking he was going to leave the team.
Yeah, he was one of the last holdovers from the secondary. Most of those guys are either transferred out or just decided to leave or whatever. So that's –
I mean, it was a huge play, because that, I think, allowed us to extend the lead too. So and all those points came up big at the end of the game.
So one more thing I want to talk about with this game is we've kind of been talking about him all along, is Austin Kendall. I feel like in the last 2 weeks, I'm gaining confidence in Austin Kendall. I feel like he is becoming a halfway decent game manager.
Yeah, I think Scoot probably hit it on the head last podcast when we were talking about Austin Kendall. I think he was saying just that, you know, he's more of a manager. And I think if you look at his stats, you know, I think he threw for like 200 yards, Guido. Is that
200 yards? He was 25 for 37. I mean, there were no big passes, 18 yards, longest pass, you know, sacked three times. So O-line kind of let him get to him a few times. But
I think the only thing that I would criticize him this week was, it seems like he's still, like, he took one or two just horrific sacks. Again, I can't remember which drive it was, but I think we ended up settling for a field goal. He took like a terrible like 10 plus yard sack. You know, I think it seems like he does not have
the awareness.
What do you call that?
Spatial
like, yeah,
awareness.
Like the clock. You know, the clock ticking down in his head. He doesn't seem like he's honed that in yet. I mean, I like him. I want to like him, but I think the pitchforks and the torches are going to keep coming out, you know, on social media for him the more he does stuff like that.
Well, I think it's a situation, I think we saw it last week, and it is definitely more prevalent this week. He is a manager. I mean, all of our scores this week were all on running plays. That not necessarily, I mean, you know, the Pettaway was the longest. I think the rest were all within the 10, you know, within 10 yards when they scored. You know, no passing touchdowns, but his completion percentage was great. You know, I don't think there were a few bad passes, which you would expect, but nothing that was like egregious throughout the game.
Yeah, I don't feel like I walked away thinking, wow, we won in spite of Austin. I mean, I thought he played a good game. I thought he did well. I just think that, you know, there's some little things, man. I think if he tightens it up, we're gonna be on the other end of the scale with him. I mean, you can tell that he's able to make all the throws and everything. I even liked, you know, so just to call myself out, I had been railing on this offensive scheme where he's constantly doing the, I'm calling it a run pass option, but he, you know, I for 2 weeks on our podcast, I had been saying he's yet to pull it down and run. He had a couple nice decisions to keep it this week, and he ran for first downs. I really liked that. I mean, he's not going to beat Tavon Austin in a sprint, but he's mobile. He can run. He used his head and made some really nice rushing plays this week. So I really hope he keeps it up.
And obviously there were no touchdown passes because Scoot's boy, George Campbell, no receptions.
He got screwed.
Yeah.
No receptions.
He
only catches touchdown passes.
Yeah, he did not.
Yeah, he had a couple targets. No catches, though. One last thing on the game, too. Another last thing on the game. How about the punting game? Guys, we don't talk about punters all that often. But we got to talk a little bit
about a little pooch punt there toward the end, and it just happened.
We
got
to talk about Mr. Josh Groudon. He's averaging in the low 40s. I think it's like 41 is his average right now. He had a 50-yard punt. Looked good. Really, like, those are the kind of little things, though, that I think that people don't talk about in football that really, you know, turn the tide of the game a lot of times.
Well, and not that he didn't look good in his own right, but put him up against Kansas's poor punter. I felt sorry for that guy. I think he was having like 12-yard punts or something. Yeah. And they kept saying, well, it's windy. I'm like, well, I hope so, because that looked horrible. But no, he's having a really good season. And I think special teams in general seems to be having a really nice season too so far.
Well, let's take a break here on Got Your Ears On. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about the trapezoid of evil. And we'll talk about what's coming down the road at us here in October, too. So stay right here. But before we go, let's hear a little bit about our sponsor, Tactical Legion Knives.
Tactical Legion Knives, a West Virginia-owned and operated company that specializes in heavy-duty tactical knives and gear for the professional warrior, the weekend warrior, and the outdoor warrior. Our products are built tough. For who? For warriors. Hey, Mountaineer fans, make sure you go on Amazon and search Tactical Legion Knives. And when you do, make sure you put in the promo code 25TOBRADIO for Tob Radio. You'll get 25% off on Tactical Legion Knives.
All right, welcome back to Got Your Ears On. Don't forget, check us out on Twitter, at Got Your Ears. You can also find us individually. Johnson's at Tob Johnson. Those are zeros, not O's. Scoot's at Tob Scoot, and I'm at Tob Guido. Check us out there. It's a great place to get some cool information and we do a lot on Twitter during the week, so it's a great place to
keep it active.
Yeah, it's pretty active. It's pretty funny. You get some good WVU information, plus, you know, some funny, goofy comments from us.
If you go there today, you'll be able to see I retweeted what Johnson looks like when he comes across a full jar of honey roasted peanut butter.
Oh, really?
So you'll have to, you'll have to search
that. Do check that out, then.
Do check that out. Johnson, trapezoid of evil, which... By the way, you sent us, but you haven't released to the public yet, a phenomenal logo for hashtag Trapezoid of Evil.
Yeah, I've got some education to pass along. I'll probably tweet that out after the show just to show everyone what we mean by the Trapezoid of Evil in detail. So be looking out for that on my Twitter.
I have a feeling everybody's going to eat that up, so it's great. How did Trapezoid of Evil not a ton of action this week?
Well, it was kind of an empty trapezoid this week.
Empty trapezoid.
We had only our favorite Pitt Panthers playing. So Penn State, the Hokies, the women's roller derby team in College Park. They were all off this week. But let's start off first, though. Speaking of the Twerps, you know, you may recall last week we covered Temple. You can only hope to contain the Owls.
That powerhouse.
They completely shut the Twerps down, right? Beat them 20-17. So hot on the heels of that, what did Temple do this week? Do you know before I tell you?
No, I don't know. What did Temple do this week?
Well, they lost.
That's not one of the scores I look for, by the way.
Come on, man. Come on. You got to stay active. Keep your friends close. Keep the trapezoid closer. Come on.
Yeah, okay.
Man.
I hear you.
I'm always looking out for these things, doing reconnaissance for you guys. So
you are. You're on.
Unfortunately, they got smeared by Buffalo. So if you're not up on Buffalo, they lost to Liberty the week before badly. They got doubled up by Liberty, so obviously they come back.
So wait, what you're telling me is that Liberty could probably beat Maryland. Is kind of what is
was that the game where Hugh Freeze was in the hospital bed?
Syracuse. No. You're thinking of, I don't know.
Freeze,
you might be right.
Hospital bed.
Was that the week?
Freeze did the hospital bed. Yeah, right. Well, and then the next week they did? He did the dentist chair. The next week he ran. Hugh Freeze was in a dentist chair. They did. They moved a dentist chair for Hugh Freeze to be able to coach out of the press.
Probably a little bit more realistic than a hospital bed, anyway. But.
No, I thought you meant then the hygienist would be having, like, asking all the questions and having hands.
Did he have a mask on? Like, he was in the dentist.
Like they're down on the sideline. Like I think he said triple option. I don't know what he said. Temple, not in the Trapezoid of Evil, but I just felt like that was a relevant update for you guys, just doing some reconnaissance there for you. So somehow, and let's just talk about this quickly because it made me mad, and I don't really want to give them any credit, but somehow Pitt pulled a fast one on UCF this weekend. I don't know if you guys saw the kind of the end of the game. They ran like some trickeration. UCF had come all the way back. They had been down big. They came all the way back. And then Pitt ran some as much razzle dazzle as you'll ever see out of a Pitt team, and they pulled a quick one on UCF. So a pretty big win. I mean, UCF
pretty big upset,
had been
right.
Yeah, UCF I think was 15th.
I mean, and not to talk good about Pitt because I would never ever do that, but that's 2 weeks in a row where they have actually not looked bad against teams that were ranked.
Yeah,
so,
pretty much.
Speaking of though, before we move on to talking about the rest of West Virginia's schedule, or at least the October that's coming up for West Virginia, I do want to talk about a game that kind of relates, which was on Wednesday night. You had Houston played Tulane on those awesome ESPN Wednesday night games. You know, when you move up in schools and you're getting paid high as Coach Holgorsen is right now, you know, you really want to book those Wednesday night games on ESPN. So Tulane, Green Wave, man, they kind of did some damage to Holgorsen there. Some trickery at the end of the game, pulled off a last second win with 3 seconds left to go in the game over Houston. But all of that being said, and it was fun to watch in some ways, Dana Holgorsen's post-game press conference was something of viral sensation.
Yeah, and it's typical Dana, right? I mean, we know that Dana, don't we?
He was just defensive.
Yeah, salty, yeah, right. Just he rattled off stat to show you how he was in the right of how they shouldn't have lost.
So I'm saying you didn't like all the first downs, and I'm saying you didn't like when we had some touchdowns, and I guess you probably didn't like when De'Aaron King broke some records. But you're right. We're bad. I'm bad. We suck.
That was a live
exactly. That was a live.
That was a playback. That was
pretty close. Yeah,
that was pretty close. I mean,
I eat rocks.
I will tell you, I do miss two things. Well, I miss one. I miss two things. I do miss the hair. I have to say, I do miss the hair. And I do miss the Dana Holgorsen press conference drinking game, which is every time he coughs, you have to take a drink. I miss that as well.
I didn't follow the game, but I wonder how many headsets were broken in the making of that Tulane win.
Oh, man. It had to be a nightmare. But I with that all being said, I can't imagine Coach Brown coming out and doing any sort of press conference like that. I think he is, and here's the thing, and this is kind of, you know, Coach Brown in a nutshell, hungry, humble, smart. I really think that he's very, like, he would come out and he would be very humble about it. And he'd be like, yep, we didn't prepare. We didn't do it. Holgorsen, though, comes out and he's like, you don't like me. Nobody likes me. I make mistakes.
I gargle pea gravel.
Yeah, it's it. That press conference was a thing of beauty. So,
well,
if you didn't get a chance,
YouTube it. Well, speaking of Brown, though, really quick, he did get animated during the game, which he never—at least I don't think he ever gets animated. And yeah. Man, he was just ripping somebody. I think it was a special teams play.
It was a special teams. It was after. What play was it after? But it was after special teams play. It was after they punted to us. I can't remember what happened. But he was just like
he was doing the whole like placard over the, you know, headset mic so you couldn't read any lips.
His
and then
paper
he
was so crumbled. It was like he had ripped it up, crumbled it, and then tried to stick it in front of his mouth instead of keeping it flat.
Yeah.
It was like he opened it back up and he was like trying to smooth it out while it was in front of his face.
Yeah. So, guys, we've got October coming up. So we have an off week next week. No game, no WVU game. And then we're back on October 5th, Saturday, October 5th, against Texas at the stadium at Milan Pushkar, Mountaineer Field. Homecoming game, Stripe the Stadium game, Horns Down game. What are you thinking coming into that game?
I'm thinking that we might have to atone for the 1.8 million Horns Down signs we've been giving over the last year is what I'm afraid of. I want to see us come out strong, but I watched Texas and Oklahoma State – this weekend. They both look really strong. Texas looks like they've got a lot of athletes on the field, and I think we're going to have our work cut out for us.
All right, so here's what fires me up.
Texas is going to come in hot. Yeah.
This is borderline earful kind of stuff. What fires me up is, let me ask you guys a question. So last time we played Texas, what happened?
We won.
Okay. So you're saying Tom Herman loses games sometimes?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct,
yes. So he's not the second coming of, I don't even know, like...
Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, Lincoln Riley. He's not the second coming of Lincoln Riley. I don't even know what he... Like, everyone thinks Tom Herman's the greatest coach ever.
They want Texas to be quote-unquote back so bad that they talk him up that way.
Ellinger is like... he's like a young Tim Tebow.
Well, and so during the broadcast, they like to do this with Ellinger, too. I guess Nick Foles, Drew Brees, they all went to the same high school. You know, so I think they're already trying to anoint him as like the next great quarterback.
I'd love to see, and Darius and Dante, if you're listening, I'd love to see either of you young bucks plaster Sam Ellinger.
Yeah, I will second that. My man Darius,
that young fellow in the turf, please.
But remember, Scoot, Ellinger was the one that says he – remember that quote from last year? He was like, I remember every one of those horns down. You know, he made it real, like,
I'm going to tell you right now. Talk. First touchdown we score against him, he's going to see every other horns down. He'll have a bunch to remember.
So let me ask you guys this. I know for Texas, you know, the Oklahoma game, the Red River rivalry, that whole thing, that's like their big – rivalry game. I feel like for us, and the Big 12 tried to set it up that Iowa State was our big rival,
which is a joke.
But I feel like for us, Texas, yeah, which is a joke. I feel like for us, Texas is slowly becoming like our rival in conference. Like, I feel like all of us as West Virginia fans are all about horns down, you know, anti-Texas.
Well, I mean, maybe that's ridiculous because the hand gesture is a 15-yard penalty. It would be no big deal. Like, if it wasn't that big a deal, if there was no 15-yard penalty attached to it, it loses its kind of, you know, loses its meaning. It's like the guy that is picking on you, and then when you kind of go along with it, they're like, "Oh, that's not as funny as I thought it was."
You know, well, and here's the thing: so if we score a touchdown or we go up first, and one of our players does horns down, boom, 15 yards on us, right? But what if like one of those? What if one of the Texas players scores a touchdown? They do a WV down. Like, is that 15 yards?
It should be.
You think they're gonna call that?
Should be. Right.
So we'll see what happens. So Texas is October 5th coming back after an off week.
And let's be honest, that doesn't even look like a Longhorn. Your fingers.
Coming back after that, we've got pretty much a tough October looking at us, Johnson. We've got Iowa State. We've got Oklahoma. We've got Baylor. And two of them are at home. The first two at home, Texas, Iowa State, in Morgantown, and then we're in Norman and we're in Waco. I'm just very nervous about this. Do you see a win in this October, Johnson?
Well, I think, you know, you had, I don't know if you remember, but at the very start of the podcast, you had christened it the October of Heck, hashtag October of Heck. You didn't say Heck.
I didn't say Heck, but yes.
I mean, come on, we're trying to run a family show here, so I dressed it up a little bit. But
okay.
You know, So before NC State, I would have said absolutely not. Coming out though, I think we have a really good chance to continue building on what we've seen lately. I think I'm just trying to get say that gauntlet again. I'm just
so you
trying
got
to get it
Texas and Morgantown on the 5th. The next week you play Iowa State in Morgantown, and then you go to Norman on the next weekend, and then Thursday night, so you play Norman on the 19th, you get a whole week and a half off, and then you play a Thursday night game in Waco against Baylor.
See, I think you have to make hay at home. I think this team has to try and make hay at home. So that even though Texas is playing really good ball, I think Texas and Iowa State, I think those are the two games you circle. I think some might say Baylor, but Matt Rhule's got them playing really well. I hate going really to Baylor. Well. I hate being, you know, a night game in Waco. I think that could be tough. But I think it would be terrific to steal one against Texas. I think it's going to be tough. Iowa State, I think people will be jacked up in Morgantown for that, and I think we could definitely steal one there. So I'm going to go 2 out of those 4.
Scoot, what do you think?
3 wins. 3 wins.
3 wins.
Texas would be the only one that could be iffy. I think Iowa State's a win. Oklahoma's going to be tough. That one, I don't know if I can say that's going to be a win. And then Baylor, I'm going along with my shiny face mask theory. They wear those gold face masks, which is they're trying to disguise something. I don't know what they're trying to make up for. The best thing that comes out of Baylor is Chip and Joanna Gaines and Fixer Upper. So I'm going to say Matt Rhule's got a long way to go until he can get to that pinnacle. So 3 wins, bookmark it.
All right.
I like the positivity, Scoot. I'm thinking there's one in there maybe. I'd like to say it's Baylor. I'd like to see us compete well against Iowa State. I think it could be a possible win. Other than that, I mean, I think Texas is going to come in mad, and that makes me nervous. And I think Oklahoma, is, you know, they're Oklahoma. They're a powerhouse.
Well, so, I agree with you about Texas. I think they're coming in with a chip on their shoulder. I think, you know, here we are with of anyone to have a bye week before we head in there. I think it gives I don't know what the week entails for Texas coming up, but I think that just lets people spend an extra week talking about last year's game,
it's gonna be
talking
a lot
about
of talk
horns
about
down.
It.
You know, I think social media leading up is going to be a lot of horns down. I can just see that, you know, them coming in with a huge chip on their shoulder. So that's why I feel that way.
Yeah, I'm with you on it. So, well, we'll see what happens. We're got an off week next week, but we'll still have a show. Don't worry, folks. Let's take a little bit of break. And we'll come back with our favorite segment, hashtag Earful, right here on Got Your Ears On. All right, welcome back to Got Your Ears On. I'm Guido. Don't forget, check out our website at gotyourearson.com. Johnson, tons of stuff on that website for you, right? You can find anything out about us.
Yeah, so not only the latest show link, but links to our Twitter, each of us, links to our Facebook page. So get on there and check it out. You can always find good stuff on there.
Yeah, definitely check it out. So go to gotyourearson.com. And, you know, there's been some talk, guys. I've heard some grumblings of maybe here sometime in the next couple of months, maybe some merch, some Got Your Ears On merch. Get those Got Your Ears On t-shirts.
Yeah, I mean, keep your eyes peeled.
Yeah, that's where you get a look. So we got Earful, guys. I've got it this week. Hashtag Earful.
Did I say keep your eyes peeled?
Keep your eyes peeled. Keep your ears on.
Keep your ears on. Keep your eyes peeled.
Get your ears on.
Do you keep your ears peeled? What do you keep peeled?
Peel your eyes?
Your eyes.
All right. Anyway.
Okay. Sorry. I don't know.
Hashtag Earful, guys. I've got it this week. And it is about how we had to watch the game. ESPN Plus. So we now have to pay to be able to watch WVU games. Not on ESPN, not on Fox Sports 1, not on cable, not even if, like, even occasionally you get them free through the West Virginia University app on your iPad or phone. No. This week, you had to pay to get ESPN Plus. And folks, here's the thing you have to remember. Like, this may not be there may be another football game that's ESPN Plus. So with the new Big 12 ESPN deal, there are going to be a couple of football games a year that'll be ESPN Plus exclusive. On top of that, last time I looked, it looks like 3 or 4 basketball games are ESPN Plus this year. So you're talking about a good amount of West Virginia major sports, you know, in West Virginia that are ESPN Plus. On top of that, though, I mean, you can get a lot of other stuff, baseball games and those kind of things. But Johnson, how do you feel about now you're paying $5 a month to watch WVU?
Well, I was just going to say so piggybacking on what you just said. So if you loved what you witnessed in a broadcast Saturday, good news, you get to watch it a bunch more in your future. And I think to me, it was just like my initial reaction when all this talk came up about ESPN Plus, I thought, oh, good. Just add that to the list of all the other services I already pay for to make sure I can get WVU sports on some channel.
Pretty much. So I'm not going to say we're guaranteed another game, football game on ESPN Plus, but it's highly probable that one of those Saturday game against K-State or Oklahoma State or Texas Tech, one of those three games could end up on ESPN.
Let me just say really quick too. I chose, that's the first time I've, it's certainly not a novel idea, but it's the first time I've ever muted the TV broadcast, played the MSN, you know, the IMG Tony Caridi broadcast separately, right. Just kind of synced them up. And I will admit I enjoyed that. It was a little bit of work keeping them in sync, but I enjoyed that much, much more than just whoever was, like, until you mentioned earlier that Golic was doing some color commentary. I didn't realize that because I didn't listen to the TV broadcast.
Right, right.
I hate it.
You hate it.
I hate it. It's just another password people have to remember.
That's
ridiculous.
An old boy statement right there.
That is an old boy statement.
It's ridiculous because
we all know your passwords are all 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Come on, it's all,
don't even lie to us.
Yes, but it's why I don't know. I don't understand. I guess this is the typical old boy. Like, if it wasn't a problem before, why do we have to make this drastic change? I get it. People like to use the Netflix, and people like, so this is the push, is that we're now going to do subscription based. Videos.
Well, but my understanding was it's dipping our toe into a quote unquote Big 12 network, right?
That is kind of almost finalized. So this is the start of the Big 12 network. So, like, let's talk about, so football, one thing, right? You know, maybe it's one or two games a year. Let's talk about basketball. Right now, scheduled on for our basketball are 5 games on ESPN Plus. Here they are. Listen to them. So we're all spread out throughout the country, so we're not local. ESPN Plus has Jayhawks on January 4th. That is an ESPN Plus game.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, you're talking about, it's not like the lower tier games. Texas Tech, January 29th in Lubbock. That's a ESPN Plus game. The Jayhawks game in Morgantown, the Baylor game in Waco. And the Baylor game, the last game of the season for the Mountaineer basketball team, is on ESPN Plus on March 7th. So you're talking 5 games this basketball season that are ESPN Plus. So you have to pay to watch them.
Well, and I thought you were going to say, you know, playing Duquesne or something.
Right.
You know, like not Kansas.
And I don't even know how those work. So the what I kind of heard was is that some of those games you would start to be able to get on ESPN Plus. That's part of this whole Big 12 network thing, is those non-conference, you know, the games against Akron and Boston University.
So this is going to be different than SEC, right? Because SEC, that's a channel. You just watch the SEC channel.
Yes. So it's not, yeah, this is going to be different.
Well, but that's what I mean, Scoot. I think it's the first foray into, at some point, maybe it evolves into the Big 12 channel or something. I don't know. I'm just saying that was my takeaway, is we're now entering into a Big 12 network type.
Well, let's put it on a channel. Let's stop jacking the American person around, the American, hardworking American man who doesn't want to pay $5.
They're going
to
have to.
Well, there was an interesting conversation broke out, just to go there a second, Scoot. I think that is a fair point, because there was an interesting conversation that broke out on Twitter earlier this week about there's a fair amount of people in West Virginia that they're using, you know, they're not on high speed internet, like cable internet. They're using satellite links and stuff to get their internet. So this isn't really a great option for them. And I think that's a fair point.
It's ridiculous.
I think that. But here, and I'll speak to the other side of it now, which is you got to look at the amount of income that these deals, this deal with ESPN, gets these schools. You know, I mean, each school in the Big 12 gets $40 million annually in rights fees from the Big 12, which is a combination of Fox and ESPN.
And I think we're just going to need to get used to this being
the way
content is delivered to us. It's going to be so many little a la carte things.
Can I throw a conspiracy which is
good and bad.
No, this is the future of everybody is cutting the cord. They're not owning cable anymore, and they're all going to go to these a la carte. You know, this is how you're going to buy your TV from now on.
Here's
my
conspiracy.
This
has all been contrived by Bill Self. This is just some other way that he's going to try to supplement his income now that the Adidas money's dried up. He's just looking for some other avenue to dip his toe into some sort of money. So I blame Bill Self.
May have some distractions upcoming, Scoot. So I don't know.
Hopefully he's got 5 to 10.
So all I'm saying, folks, if you want to watch some West Virginia, especially basketball games this year, if you don't like missing those basketball games, you got to pony up the $4.99 a month or $50 a year to get yourself some ESPN Plus.
I did laugh though just before we end this little rant, because it was funny listening to people say things like $4.99 I think to get the ESPN Plus package. People were saying for $5.99 you get the first down line on the field, and for $6.99 you get, you know, because it did feel like.
That's the future of it. If you want to see the score in the bottom of the screen, please put 50 cents into your TV.
If you'd like relevant color commentary about the game, please text color to this number and you'll be charged an additional $2.99.
That's the future, man. That is the future. So, well, this is another great week. I'm glad to see a win for West Virginia University football. Feeling better about the team than I was. Maybe there's a bowl game in our future. We'll see. Off week next week, we'll be back. Might do a little bit of basketball talk next week, because we're only a month away, really. A little more than a month away from basketball season kicking off. So we'll talk about those boys. But guys, have a good week. We'll talk to you next week. And thanks for listening to Got Your Ears On.